Hello, hello, and welcome to Self-Care is Sexy. My name is Chris, and I'll be your host. We are a weekly podcast that's here to generate and share self-care ideas with each other. Last week, we talked about the compound effect and how doing just a little bit of self-care every week can greatly improve your outlook on life, your ability to make decisions, and just increase your all-around compassion, which is something we could all use a lot more of, right? I got some great feedback and a few questions, which I will be addressing in a bit. But first, I want to give you guys a quick preview of what to expect from today's show. Mainly because, you know what, your time is so valuable, and I am so honored that you are choosing this show and positive things to put in your ear holes. You know, I always want to give you a preview right up front so you can decide in the first few minutes if the show is actually right for you. So with that said, today's show is an interview with a local comic and a friend of mine, Andy Main. She has a show coming up next week, November the 9th, in support of an incredible cause, Don't Shoot PDX. At Curious Comedy, it's located on Northeast MLK off of Alberta here in Portland, Oregon. And during her interview, we talk about everything from anxiety and the election to the art of being busy as a form of self-care and how she survived a comedy show in the middle of nowhere, Washington, with a bunch of elk hunters. We'll get to all that fun and more, but first, a few quick housekeeping notes. So first of all, remember, we have our upcoming monthly Self-Care is Sexy brunch. That's going to be Sunday, November 20th. So if you're in town, or even if you're not, you can join us as we talk about self-care in person. Just, you know, kind of check in, how is it going, what's working, what's not, all that fun. Number two, also, I want to let you guys know that we're going to be giving away another passion planner. If you're not familiar with these, you can go check them out at www.passionplanner.com. It's as a part of our Self-Care Sexy Passports project. If you're interested in winning one of these bad boys, all you have to do is head over to the website, that's www.selfcareissexy.com, download or print off that DIY passport, go on the little adventures, and then tell me all about them. You can check out episode number 25 for all the details on that. And number three, I want to tell you guys, I'm super excited to share with you the Cut the Sugar campaign. It'll be starting up here in just a bit, and it's going to be a 30-day challenge. It's going to be right in the middle of the holidays, and it's all about lowering your sugar intake as a form of self-care. I know it sounds super intimidating, but stay tuned for details. It's all good. It's all self-care, and I know you guys are going to love it. All right, with all of that out of the way, let's get to the funny, the talented, and the totally fucking crazy Andy Main.
First of all, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show. I know you're super, super busy, so we will try to utilize your time the best way we can. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Okay, so why don't you just introduce yourself, tell our listeners a little bit about you and kind of how you got to this point.
My name is Andy Main, and I'm a Portland native, and I'm the only one I know. And I do stand-up comedy, which, I'm well-known in Portland. You know, like, my name gets around if people are looking for comedians, and then, you know, I get opportunities that way. I started doing comedy, like, 4 years ago.
Oh,
almost
wow.
5 years ago.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and all that means is, like, going out as much as you can to catch as much mic time as you can to get better as a comic, and then making connections, learning how to produce shows, creating partnerships with other comedians, and just trying to be funny.
Yeah.
And if you work hard and are nice to people and produce quality content, then you get to my level where I make maybe $200 a month from it.
Sweet.
That's a great month.
I'm happy
with that month.
Yeah. Hey, that's coffee or
yeah.
You know, lunches.
Yeah, makeup. Makeup and clothes and drugs.
All on 200, man. You got
yeah,
your budget.
I mean,
you got this dialed in, man.
Yeah, I've got just a low key marijuana addiction.
You know,
it's fine.
Keep it simple. So, in addition to being a comic, you also work full time, right?
Yeah, I work for a major bank, 40
yeah.
hours a week.
And you've got a bunch of other responsibilities and obligations, I'm sure.
Yeah, like. I treat comedy as a part-time job. I treat my full-time job not very seriously. I don't really... I just don't care, yeah. honestly. Like, it's something that I clock into and clock out of. I don't think that you need to be fulfilled by your job as long as there's something else in your life that's fulfilling you. Because work is work. Yeah. It's nice if you love it, but you can't get sad about not loving it because you still got to do it.
Yeah.
So, also, I've got a husband of 13 years named Paul.
Wow. 13 years?
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. That's a long time.
Yeah.
You don't really see that, like, in our age group, right? Mm-hmm.
No, like we met when I was 23 and we just hit it off.
Yeah.
So it was really easy and nice and fun.
You're lucky fuck.
Yeah, I'm really fucking lucky, dude. Like, I've never dated on Tinder, you know, like,
never have to go through that whole
I've
hell.
Never done any internet dating.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I promise you, you're not missing anything. It's all bullshit and it sucks.
One time I got drunk and downloaded Tinder because I was like, I wonder what this is all about. And I tried it and no one matched with me and I was like, fuck this. So
it must not work. Like, if
yeah,
they can't find
I mean,
any
I looked really cute
match.
In that photo. Oh wait, sure. When I was in Chicago, I matched with a couple that was looking for a threesome specifically. And I was like, this is way too much to navigate. Like, considering that I don't even want to cheat on my husband. Yeah. Like, I just thought I'd look and see
what's out there.
Yeah. So I didn't respond to any messages
or
anything.
I'm happy that you haven't had to go through the perils of online dating.
Sounds awful.
Yeah. You're not missing anything, I promise. So, okay, so you've got this incredibly full life, and I know maybe the work's not as satisfying as you'd like, but, I mean, obviously you're driven and you're pursuing your passion, and I'm gonna assume, big leap here, that your ultimate goal is to make being a comedian your deal. Right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, so yeah. That's where you're headed. You're headed that direction.
I mean, I don't know. Like, there's so much about a career in comedy that's not up to you.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, it's hard to even get upset when things don't land in your, you know, when things don't go your way, where it's like, I haven't performed in L.A. I have a lot of friends from L.A. But everything that I've heard about L.A. is even worse than you would imagine.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, it's not even about making art, it's about making cash.
Yeah.
And if I were to go to LA, the only way that I would go to LA is if I already had a job lined up. And
yeah.
The jobs that you pursue in comedy are mainly writing for late night TV or writing for sitcoms. I think that a sitcom's even a cushier job than late night TV, probably because it's easier,
yeah.
You know. I mean, I would imagine it's easier because you have, like, more time to prepare, but I have no idea. Anyway, what I'm getting to is that pursuing a job in comedy is even harder than going to my day job. Like,
yeah.
It hurts.
More work.
It's a lot more work, and then I don't consider it to be a meritocracy where, like, I don't necessarily think that even... I'm not taking anything away from anyone who's ever accomplished anything. But I know for a fact that certain people get cool shit even though they don't deserve it. And that's just a fact of life.
That happens to everybody.
That happens to everybody on every platform. But I think with Hollywood being such a looks-driven society, that certain people who aren't considered, you know, photogenic or, like, you know, they just aren't likable in that way that's trendy to be likable in. I think that they have a harder time and they have to work twice as hard. And it's like, you know, I have a really unique look and personality and, I know that I annoy people. So it's like, it's like either, what can I do? Should I change my personality? I can't do that. That's not organic. So fuck it.
Yeah.
You know? So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. So you got all this shit going on. And
yeah.
It sounds like a lot to deal with. I have a couple questions for you. The first thing that came to mind, and this is kind of off topic, but I assume you're dealing with a lot of rejection.
Yeah.
In not only, like, you know, in the industry itself, but also on stage, I would assume.
Yeah.
So what's that like, and how do you pick yourself back up and keep
when I first started, bombing was really hard.
Yeah.
Bombing was, I'd say it was more painful than getting romantically rejected at that point. But I don't know. I've been in a long-term relationship for so long.
You got Paul on your side.
Yeah, then again, I've been such a catch that I don't even have to deal with that. No, like, bombing sucked. It was the worst. And now that I'm good enough at comedy to know when it's my fault versus when it's the audience's fault, like, it becomes... It's like the first time that I did a customer service job, the first customer I ever talked to, that was the most terrifying thing of my life. And now, like, if a customer were to yell at me 5 years into doing that same customer service job, I'd be like, whatever, fuck you, customer. Like, it's either your fault or it's my fault or it's our fault. But either way,
no yelling.
It seriously does not matter. Like, the world is on fire right now. Like, Donald Trump's going to become president. I don't give a shit if I bomb. I don't give a shit.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about what you, just to bring it back to our show and on topic, how do you define self-care for you?
I'm working, like this week, I'm not doing it. Like, I kind of threw it away this week because I'm just, like, really stressed about the election. Like, I'm refreshing 538.com once an hour, and I'm looking at the way things are going, and I'm terrified. So yesterday, I had a point where I'm like, look, I don't care about making my goals this week. I just want to survive and cope because, like, no matter what happens with the election, we're going to live in a world where 45% of people out there thought that Donald Trump would be a better president than Hillary, which is the most insulting thing I've ever heard of in society. Like, and then Hillary's, I can't go into it too much because I'll ruin the podcast. I'll tank it. So this is my version of self-care. Normally, I try to go to the gym 3 times a week. I try to not smoke. I try to not drink. With the not drinking thing, it's like, if I do 4 to 5 days a week not drinking, that's awesome. Not smoking, if I don't smoke during open mics and at regular standard comedy shows, that's great. You know, like, if I don't buy a pack of cigarettes, that's awesome. If I bum one here and there, you know, or if, like, I'm traveling or if I'm doing a really big show, then I'll give myself permission to smoke.
And have you been traveling a lot? Has that been happening?
I traveled a lot this year. I did, like, 7 or 8 different towns.
Wow.
During festivals. And, you know, that also includes, like, Seattle and Eugene. It's not like... But also it includes San Francisco and Chicago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, nice. Yeah, that was really fun. So I guess my definition of self-care is, like, if I'm on a track that's maintaining health, then I feel like I'm in control.
Nice.
But also, I need to know that I'm busy. You know, I need to have a stacked plate. Like, I'm an overindulger, like, in every single way that someone can be. Not every single way, but that's just, like, my natural tendency.
You go balls out for whatever.
Yeah, like, I go balls deep into everything. So it's like,
nice.
That has to be, I can't do halfway. It's like all or nothing. And that's a compulsive problem. And it's like an addictive personality kind of shit, kind of issue. But as long as I know that I'm moving towards health and I'm working really hard at comedy and if I'm overwhelmed with a schedule, then I feel good about myself. Like, then I feel busy,
like,
and productive.
You're doing a lot. And
yeah.
So that gives it to you. So has there been a time when you've experienced, like, you know, the consequences of, like, when you know you've got a packed schedule and you can't get it in? And I guess, how do you know shit hits the fan and it's not working and your self-care is totally off the rails? What's a good indicator for you?
I don't think that I've had, as far as my comedy career goes, I've had runs where I'm doing, like, 10 shows out of 10 nights, and then even a couple shows in one night, you know, like, even 3 shows in a night. And when that happens, that's awesome. Like, I'm stoked about that. The only way, I mean, like, Paul's in my relationship is so solid that, you know, he's happy with whatever I'm doing that makes me happy, whether that's spending time with him or not. Like, we're not codependent. We're able to independently operate. And, you know, like, he sometimes gets so bogged down with work, too, where it's like, okay, this is all just part of the larger picture that we're painting right now. So let's keep working. I haven't had a meltdown regarding being too busy with comedy, because comedy is just, like, always, it's not always fulfilling, but just, like, looking at that, I'm like, yes, this is what I am and what I need to do.
Well, Well, in addition to, like, being on stage, you're also producing shows, right?
Yeah.
So you're, like, organizing other comics to come and participate.
Yeah.
And I assume that, like you said, that's got to be, like, fucking herding cats, you know?
Yeah, because everybody wants to work, you know? Every comedian's, like, happy when they get picked for a show. But I did have to take a break from producing this year because I was producing two different shows. And it was one show one week, the next show the next week, where I made them both, like, bi-monthly, so twice a month, so that was four shows a month.
Wow.
And then I was helping other people out with other shit, and then working on my stand-up, too, so it was like, I took a month off between September and now my first show's back to being produced. I guess that was, like, when I recognized, oh, you're too busy, you're spreading yourself too thin. Let's just pump the brakes for a minute. And that was nice. It was, like, a good transition. And that's how theaters work, too, where, like, they'll have a season of a certain show, and then they'll take a break, and then they'll come back to it. And that way you're able to stay refreshed and have better ideas on the table, and you're not feeling, like, a facsimile of yourself.
So just having that time to kind of recharge. So what I hear you saying is, like, you're a freight train. You're plowing through it. You're getting through whatever you got to get to. You're feeling good. You're feeling accomplished. But when there is, you know, an ultimate time that you will say, all right, you'll recognize.
Yeah, I'll structure a break for myself.
Right.
And I'm just coming back from that break right now. And
And how are you feeling? So has it been, like, did the break help? Do you feel like you're, like, more
creative?
Yeah,
it was great. It was just good to, like, not be in charge. You know, like, if a show tanked or did great, it was because I was a part of it. You know, or it was because I was a part of it, like.
Wait, because it was you? Or because it was you?
I mean, what I'm saying is that, like, if someone else hosts a show and produces a show and I'm on the show, like, my performance is up to myself. It wasn't because of the entire show's structure or the attendance or, like, who was on the lineup. Like, it was all just up to me for that 7 to 10 minutes on stage. I didn't have to worry about all of the other planning that went into it. And so that was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
It alleviates that kind of, like, pressure.
Yeah,
You just focus on your craft and doing what you do well.
Yeah.
Awesome. So do you take time to write your sets and, like, write your comedy? Are you, like, one of those people that's, like, furiously scribbling on napkins?
No, I'm not a good writer like that. No, if I have something that pops into my head, I'll put it on a note on my phone. But I write mainly on stage.
Like, freestyle? Like,
I know what I'm going to talk about, and I know what the punchlines are, because I, you know, like, the material is stuff that's loosely happened to me in real life. So, like, you know, just something will stick out where I'm like, oh, we're going to talk about this weird interaction. And, it's like a storytelling form of joking where it's like, I know what the punchline, I know the end of the joke. And it's, like, getting there is where the beats come into play with, like, the laugh lines or the punch lines. And then it's, like, at the end of that joke, like, let's say that I'm an open mic and I'm trying it out for the first time and it just eats shit, like.
Crickets.
Yeah, crickets the whole way. I'll be like, either you believe in this to try it out again or you can just scrap it. Yep. Like, and I guess I edit based on, like, listening to it on my voice memos on my phone.
Oh, yeah, cool.
And writing out, like, bullet points. And then, like, that's how I refine it. And then I'll go to the stage the next time with notes based off of that. But by and large, right now I'm working not on paper. Like, if I sit down to write, I just end up so digitally distracted.
Oh, yeah, that you can't.
Yeah.
I've run into that a couple of times, but thankfully I've got a lot of tools in place to keep me on track. So it sounds like, to me, I mean, what I'm kind of gleaning from this conversation so far is that you feel best when you're busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know your limits. You can spot them. And you know when it's time to take a break. So what are some other ways that you take breaks? Or how else do you kind of set aside time just for you, or separate from Paul, or separate from comedy? Do you ever just have just Andy Main time?
Yeah, Saturdays, I just need to go to the gym and walk the dog. And then the rest of the day is up to me to, like, figure out whether or not that's going to become a successful day.
Yeah.
So
just keeping that, like, to-do list real, real short.
Yeah.
And not having to overwhelm yourself with producing or writing or planning or whatever. Just giving yourself that little
Yeah. Well, I don't even enjoy just sitting on the couch and watching TV. Like, I don't like taking breaks. I feel bored. And I'm missing out on living my best life if I'm just sitting there. Like, if I go on a vacation, like when Paul and I travel, like, and we'll just go to the coast or something, like, I'm always thinking, oh, I wonder if there's any place I can get a set in at the coast, which is absurd. There's not.
There's nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing. But, like, there's always that part of me that's like, oh, I wonder if I can turn this into a comedy thing. Like, when we've gone up to Seattle, like, to visit my sister, who's very sick, I was like, huh, I probably shouldn't book a comedy show this time. You know, like, I had to tell myself to not do that.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a compulsion and an addiction, yeah. Too.
You must love it.
Oh, there's parts of it that I will always love, and there's parts of it that just make me so pissed off.
Do you get high from the mm-hmm. laughs when people react and just are dying from something you said? Does that...
Yeah, it feels amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you could equate to that?
I haven't done it. No, that's it. That's it. As much as I want. Yeah.
As much as it goes.
Yeah.
Has there been any material that you've brought out that you felt really strong about that was not well received?
I always come to a mic with an intention of asking, which actually isn't that good. Like, you should be telling an audience to laugh at your jokes instead of asking them.
Hmm.
You know, so, like, but also when you're trying out new material, that's you asking, is this funny? This is funny to me. Is it funny to you? You know, and so, I mean, maybe, I can't think of anything specifically. I'm sure it's happened where I've been like, oh, I thought that was great, and then no one laughed. Like, I mean, I had to do a show at, like, a hunting lodge a month ago in Amboy, Washington, which is in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, I had to drive down a dirt road.
Oh, my God, like, with banjos playing.
Yeah, it was banjo country, and it was storming, raining, and I was like, there's going to be a deer that's going to jump out of the car any fucking minute, and it's like, there's traffic behind me, and I'm driving slow because I'm terrified, and I'm pulling over so they can all go past me, but then they don't want to go past me because they want me to be in front. It was a nightmare. It was not worth the money. I even had to buy my drinks, which is a fuck you from the establishment. It's like, I almost died to get here, and I have to pay $3 for a fucking beer. Anyway, the audience was hunters and rednecks. Like, it was by and large 70%, like, white supremacists.
Oh, my God.
And then 30% decent people who happen to live in a shitty part of the country. And I could not really get my, like, I knew going into, well, I knew as soon as I got there, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so fucked right now. Like, I think you can, if you just alter your punchlines, if you just tweak your intentions on the fly, it'll be okay. And, you know, like, I got through the 30 minutes. They didn't want the full Andy Main experience, so I definitely censored myself. And no riots broke out, but, like, oh, they didn't laugh either. Like
30 minutes of just awkward deer hunter comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I was the one being hunted.
Oh, shit.
They're like, I wonder if she is funny. It's like, I'm great. Like, yeah. You guys suck.
Yeah, you're not getting it.
So I guess that's the time.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like, something, I love following you on Facebook. I can never really tell if your posts are real or not, but they are so fucking hilarious, I don't even care. So I have to ask, like, is what you're posting on Facebook, like, really happening to you?
Yeah.
Holy God, the life you lead. And for our listeners out there who aren't friends with Andy Main on Facebook, you're seriously missing out on some hilarious shit. Some of the stuff you post, I'm like, that can't be real, is it?
I mean, there's exaggerations.
Sure, of course there is. You're a comic. If our listeners did want to connect with you, or if they wanted to kind of see you in action or catch a show, you got anything coming up?
Yeah, I do a series now called Revolution Comedy at Curious Comedy Theater, and that's on second and fourth Wednesdays, and we do progressive fundraisers.
Excellent.
Our next one, next Wednesday, which is the 8th or 9th, I think?
That's the 9th. The 9th, of November.
Yeah. That's going to be for Don't Shoot PDX, who are an advocacy group about systematic racism. So that's a lighthearted topic. And we will throw a comedy show to raise money for them because they do awesome work. I think I'm going to do a Dakota Pipeline show in 3 weeks, and I'm just getting everything figured out for that. But it's always current events-based fundraisers for very progressive causes, like beyond liberal or Democrat, like super human, civil rights-related stuff.
Yeah. And we need that right now. We need people to be doing that and putting it out there. And, of course, if any of you listeners are interested in any of these events, there will be links on the show notes. You can follow us there on selfcaresexy.com. We'll make sure that you get all the information so that you can get tapped in and plugged in. That is one of the things I love about what you're doing, is that there's a mission behind it. Yeah, you're fucking funny. You can throw out a joke and it's hilarious. Great. But there's something else behind it. There's more substance behind it. Your shows are generating money for causes that you believe in, that our community should get involved in, and I thank you for that.
Oh, well, thanks for recognizing it.
Yeah, that's hard, because I think you did one for Bernie, right?
Yeah, we were able to reach the $2,700 mark.
That's incredible.
Which is awesome,
Badass, man.
Yeah.
You're really doing it. You're living the dream.
Yeah.
Candy Bane. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your totally busy schedule.
Thanks. You can look up my website at andymainecomedy.com. That's A-N-D-I-E-M-A-I-N. And then I'm on Twitter at andymain.
You're on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe you're on. I have to follow you. Because if you're half as funny,
I'm having
as your
a
Facebook.
Mental breakdown on Twitter right now.
Oh, really?
Basically.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
That'll be great fun. Well, hey, listen, again, I want to thank you so much for coming up here and being a part of the show. I love your shit.
Thanks so much.
I'll be out there. You guys come join us. We're going to be on Wednesday, November 9th at Curious Comedy. It's on
MLK and Alberta.
MLK and Alberta.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. All right, Andy, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right.
I feel compelled to shake your hand.
Excellent. Well, there you have it, guys. That's Andy Bane. You can catch her next live show here in Portland on Wednesday, November 9th. That's the day after the election here in the States, so it might be a great way to just, like, unplug from it all and go laugh your ass off. You can check out all her dates, past videos, all that fun stuff at www.andymainecomedy.com. All right, you guys, that's it for this week. Thank you again for joining me. If you have a story you'd like to share and you want to be on our show, please email me. It's Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. You guys, we've got some super great content coming your way, so stay tuned. And remember that self-care is sexy. We're giving you permission to put yourself first.